Hey, Alex.
John.
You know what I hate?
What's that?
Crime. But don't tell anyone. Shh.
I won't.
I'm the Batman.
Oh, the Batman. Okay. You're less animated than I thought you'd be. Here is something that I just wish was in this movie. Nothing to do with the film.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, mm-hmm. This movie's got like two scores. It's Nirvana's Something in the Way and then Ave Maria. If over the last credits, it does a na 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 na. No, 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 Batman. They do like a really slow, dirty version of the original Batman theme. Oh, God, that'd make you happy.
That made me laugh, and then I thought about it, that actually existing, and now I'm mad. So that was a fun journey we just went on.
We should explain to the audience why we were watching the Batman. And by we, I mean me, since I thought of it, and I'm going to say it right now. Is because if you go to johnalexhatestuff.com and click on the Patreon link, you can sign up for our Patreon, and we have all sorts of extra content out there. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, at JawsPod. All right, but the real reason we're doing it, episode 1, John Alex Hate Stuff, was a Batman movie. Episode 50 of John Alex Hate Stuff, a different Batman movie. Episode 100 of John Alex Hate Stuff, yet another Batman movie. And if you figured out the code, kids at home, riddle me this. What happens every 50 episodes? A Batman movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was a random Batman Returns thrown in there somewhere, but.
Was there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But right. Whatever, that doesn't count.
It's for serious Batman movies.
So since the last Batman that we covered, Batman's been rebooted at least twice. So we got through the guy from Mallrats. Michael Keaton came back a little bit, and now Robert Pattinson.
Well, Michael Keaton hasn't come back fully yet because that's supposed to be like the Flash movie.
Is that where that's from?
That hasn't happened yet. Back. Yeah. No, Ezra Miller is still on.
In this timeline.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
All right. So the Batman.
The Batman.
I saw this in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I left the theater thinking, man, I really enjoyed that movie. I never want to watch it again. This was pleasant. I liked what was happening. I'm glad I saw it on a big screen because now that I watched it at home, I need a fucking flashlight for a lot of it. But in the theater, it played. But boy, there's no reason a movie, like any movie, especially a fucking Batman movie, needs to be 3 hours. It's just close to three.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far to say any, but certainly this one doesn't need to be. I feel like the last 40 minutes are pretty tacked on.
It's really fucking long. And like the first time I liked it because I was like, oh, this is, I don't know. It felt like the most grounded Batman that I've seen where, you know, the one with Christian Bale, like kind of had that, but like it was a little fanciful. This was like all real shit. Other than like the weirdest part was the contact lenses. Everything else, right. I'm like, this can happen. Like this is like legit shit.
Yeah, I like that this Batman is a lonely dork and is like not great at stuff yet. Like he's still fucking up. His detective skills aren't amazing. Yeah. I kind of like that rather than just watching like, you know what? I'm good at all of this. And also how they finally do a Batman movie where we don't have to see what happens to Thomas and Martha Wayne. There's not a big, long thing about it.
Yes.
We all know they reference it cause obviously they're going to, but, that also like so much stuff has already happened, but they don't spend a lot of time belaboring that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's been around. He clearly has a relationship with Gordon. The cops respect him enough. They don't like him, but they like tolerate him enough to not just like lose their shit whenever they see him. Makes you kind of wonder, oh, okay, well, you know, what happened? But they don't tell you, and I'm okay with that. It just sort of, it sets the stage for this world, but it doesn't, they're not holding my hand through it.
Yeah. It feels like the closest we're ever going to get to a Batman Year One movie, where I think Batman Year One's a little tougher to film just because he's going to suck so bad. And like, there's just so much track delay. This is nice. It's like, yeah, everything's established. We're all good. Like, he's got a rapport with Gordon. It's nice.
Yeah, I reread the comic, and because it's Frank Miller, a lot of it's like, Jim Gordon's actually really like a badass and a tough guy. And I like that they didn't do that, that he's, you know, he's no nonsense, but he's still like operating within the system and still, he has to answer to some people. And so he's still trying to do some stuff slickly.
Yeah, Jeffrey Wright is terrific in this as Jim Gordon, in my opinion. I like the kind of everyman Joe cup of coffee style he's doing. And him being like exasperated with Batman, but still kind of liking him with some fun. Like, I felt like they really landed the reality of it. Like there's a few scenes where, especially that first scene where Batman interacts with the cops. Like, Matt Reeves really captures the kind of what it would be like, the awkwardness. Yeah. You see them kind of shifting of like, there's a guy in it. Like, and you see these little realizations of like, there's a guy dressed as a fucking bat, like standing next to me. This is fine. I'm a cop. This is my job.
Later when they're in the Riddler's lair, I think I was like, oh, what about the chain evidence over here? You know, because it's looking at something and it's like, what do we, you know, what's the move here? This doesn't seem right.
And I liked you doing that impression, made me think of it, is I like how kind of New York-y it is. Like, a lot of Batman, like in the books, is that. It's like, yeah, I'm a wise guy. Well, that's not really New York. Yeah. But like, you know, that kind of like New York gangstery 1930s noir vibe. And like, they didn't shy away from it. Even Pattinson like does like a kind of New York-y gangster accent, which is really fun.
Well, and they cast, particularly like for the cops, there are some great like craggy faces.
Oh, hell,
like
yeah.
The guy that's actually like, that's not the commissioner that gets killed with the rats, but like the guy under him when they like Batman gets blown up and they're like waking him up in the jail cell or whatever. The guy that kind of looks like kind of a like a store brand Al Pacino a little bit, but like he's got this kind of voice.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
And I was just like, it's more upsetting that they cast Colin Farrell as the Penguin. Now, granted, I like Colin Farrell in this role. Like, if I did not know that was Colin Farrell, I would not have guessed. I think the makeup is very good. But, like, they're actual weird-faced dudes that would do this.
Exactly. As a rather, large gentleman with a weird-shaped head, I want my right standing up. I want to see myself on that screen.
Yeah.
Not some pretty Irish boy all makeup up.
My culture is not your costume.
Yeah, this is cultural appropriation of fat, ugly people, and I won't stand for it. Not that fat people are ugly. Every body size is beautiful.
Except
I'm just saying that. It's a lie.
But yeah, no, and that's part of what I like too, is that it's a lot more, I don't want to say like realistic, but it feels more grounded. Even some of like, even when it's ridiculous, it still feels okay. It doesn't feel like, you know, when all of a sudden in the Nolan things were, oh, it turns out I've actually like patched in the cell phone to everyone on the planet or something. You know, I don't know. This doesn't have that. This doesn't go that far.
No, I mean, the most unbelievable stuff is some of the tech is a little like 15 years too early. And the seawall thing, but it, like the more you think about that, like you probably could do that on Manhattan. Like there's probably spots of Manhattan that if you blew up, like you could flood, you know, Wall Street or something.
Don't know. But I do think like it does feel like though, as I sort of said, the last 30 or 40 minutes feels like, okay, well, we've told this cool detective story, sort of, you know, psycho thriller thing. We got to do the superhero thing though. So we got to have this big action set piece. They managed to turn it into like, well, there's character growth for Batman or whatever, but it just, it loses me a bit there because I also have a problem with the Riddler's thing, but we can get there when we get there.
Yeah. The other, we will get there when we get there, not out of order. I've never said anything out of order. You're out of order. Arg. I hate when people say like, oh, you know, Woody Allen movies, like Manhattan is like a character of its own. We're just like, oh, shut up. But I really thought Gotham had some soul in this for the first time. Mm-hmm. It's not just like the Tim Burton one is like, it's like there's like one store and then just tenement housing and everything's black. Like this is like the garden, which they set up like nicely in a few shots before it actually matters in it. But like that like downtown area that's like, you know, Times Square with like all the neon and whatever, like it's like, oh, that's like what a city looks like in the modern day. It's
right.
Not everything is the Chrysler building, which a lot of Batman movies tend
towards. Well, I think it does a good job in it. And it being sort of more striated is I think more important to this Batman story than like in Batman Begins. It's like, well, everything's kind of shitty. And then underground, there's this club But then, I don't know, it didn't really feel like a fully realized city the way this one did. Like the second one, it just feels like you said, kind of shiny and Chrysler Building-y. But that's like because so much of Nolan's movies look like that. But I like that, that there were differing sections to it. It wasn't just Crime Alley and then Crimeburg.
Exactly. Crime Alley, Crimeburg, some store that's based off of Gimbel's, the movie theater, and then just Tenement.
But speaking of that and the look of things is the Nolan one doesn't pack the same punch anymore since Christopher Nolan kind of has that look, and that look has since been aped, you know, more commercially and stuff like that. I in commercials, not like that Nolan was that underground, but you kind of forget that it was a different style for Batman, but I do like this style a lot. And I like that we're not trying to push you into any kind of template to fit the larger DCU or that kind of thing. It's just like, yes, Batman's going to be a dark, gritty movie in general, because that's how they do Batman these days. But being able to like have specific colors in there, very executed very nicely, or like the complete shallow focus that happens all the time, gave this movie like a life. And like, this is what happens when you let someone actually like plan out shots and think about things instead of just green screen for, Hulk or whatever.
That's why I'm not like mad at this movie for being almost 3 hours. But like, if this was a lesser or like a more flatly filmed superhero thing, I'd be furious because 3 hours is way too fucking long. Yeah. But this looked really pretty, and it's got everybody's good. Zoe Kravitz, I'm a little on the fence about, but everybody else I think is, she's not fine. Bad. Totoro, I thought, was especially not Totoro-y, which he's, you know, quickly turning into like Christopher Walken, where every role he's just John Totoro.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, he actually seemed like he showed up and did some acting, which is nice.
Yeah, and I do like the that it opens with a fake that you're seeing through binoculars what looks to be like a palatial estate and a young kid like dressed as a ninja playing around in his room, and his dad shows up.
Oh yeah,
leaves. And it turns out this is current day, and that's the mayor, Don Mitchell Jr. He goes off and does some stuff, and then ends up getting killed by the Riddler. And I think Paul Dano is a good choice for this character. When they first announced him, I wasn't sure, but I like that whole scene. I like his look, the weird combat mask and whatever, and how he's revealed by like just appearing in the darkness behind the mayor.
I love what he brings to the role, that like it's combat mask, but like also it's like a sex mask that he does. Like he's like almost like at one point he feels like he's coming after he like shoots a guy or something. I forget what the exact scene is, but there's a lot of like heavy breathing and like him, like it's orgasmic, some of his performance, where like, not like I'm an actor, but like, that's not something I would go, the Riddler, he's going to come a lot, but like, it works really fucking well.
Yeah. And I know, you're a fan of Gotham.
I am.
I do like how, when you find out who he actually is, that it's not, Edward Nygma, it's Edward Nashton. Cause just in that show, when they introduced the Riddler, and I know that it gets very over the top, but that was a big, like, I don't know about the show. Cause he's like, I love puzzles. Get it? Who am I going to be? I don't know. And it was very annoying.
However, that show is amazing. It's anybody at home that I do, I have talked about it before, but like watch Gotham. Cause like the first season starts off as like a real show. And then they just go, fuck it. This is a prequel to Batman 66. And it just goes off the goddamn rails. Like, it is so ridiculous. At one point, they realize the lead kid that plays young Bruce Wayne sucks at acting. So they sort of wrote him off the show. Like, maybe they didn't. But, like it basically became the Jim Gordon show. What a fucking great show. I better rewatch that.
But so it's during this sort of opening thing. The Riddler kills this guy. We learn that there's a mayoral election happening. And this up-and-comer is running against the mayor. The election still continues, I guess, even though he gets murdered. We know that the Batman already is in existence, that we get a voiceover from Robert Pattinson as Bruce Wayne. You know, it's like, oh, we have a light now. I'm working alongside the cops, kind of. The light goes up, and the criminals are looking everywhere. They look in the dark hallway, and they're like, well, the Batman's going to come out of there. He's clearly, this is up there because someone knows what I did. Which is interesting, that sort of that bat signal is panopticon kind of thing. Whereas for me, it's like, when you see the bat signal, you're like, okay, cool, Batman's busy doing something else. I'm free to do whatever.
You bring up a good point, but in the comics, it's established like that the point of that is if criminals be like, oh, fuck, man, nah, I'm good. Like,
maybe, yeah.
I kind of thought he was in like Arabia fighting for the love of his estranged wife, cum immortal, cum Ra's al Ghul.
When we do finally see him, I love that it's fucking kids playing the knockout game.
What was the knockout game again?
The knockout game, and like, I don't even know if this was real, but
it was like a World Star Hip Hop kind of thing. I just don't remember what it was.
You would just like walk up to a person, try to beat them up. They made it into a gang, like a gang thing, which was, I think, a neat tell of like, are these the Joker's henchmen or something? Because they kind of look like they're going to like a Nightmare Before Christmas convention, because they all have the like white face paint with the painted mouths. Like, so yeah, they almost look like Jack Skellington or like a Swedish death metal band or something.
No, they're not full corpse paint though. You know, there's
one guy that I think has like an upside down cross on his head. I'm not sworn to that, but he's not.
Oh, well, yeah. No, oh, sorry. Well, fucking let's call Mayhem for copyright infringement.
I like, and I like this introduction of Batman, that clunking of his shoes. Like he's wearing these like giant metal combat boots. He appears out of the darkness and just beats the shit out of these people. And I feel like a lot of the violence in this is not that stylish compared to Batman's past. I mean, like the Tim Burton one, come on, it's all style. In his own inimitable way, but like they're not really like Batman's got moves, but they're not like designed like kung fu set pieces or something. It gets pretty brutal.
Yeah, this, I mean, although the Nolan movies fit this time frame as well, but this feels like the first like post UFC Batman, where like we now know what a human can do to another human, like in that kind of level, and it's like that level of brutality where. Yeah, in this universe, it actually would be weirder to have him doing, like, huge spins and, like, hitting a guy six times where it's like, why? He's...
Yeah.
We know what fighters can do now. Like,
yeah.
That just should be one punch. And this violent one punch power... It's like the later Rocky movies where he's like, all right, I can't really dodge, so I guess, I'm gonna punch real hard. It's Adrian, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that thing. That was a beautiful impression.
It was great. I was transported. Yeah. But yeah, and then when he does punch more than
once. Really did sound like a mumbly guy that doesn't know what he's doing with improv.
Yeah, so Stallone. But when he does throw more than one punch, like he just starts caving in a guy's face.
And
I like that introduction that even the guy that he saved is like, please don't fuck me up, man. Don't kill me.
On that note, though, this is something I wanted to bring up in previous Batman movies. I don't think we have, because this is the first one. This is the most cop Commissioner Gordon interaction of the movies we've watched. Batman's essentially an arm of the cops in this movie. Does that mean Batman is a bastard using the all cops are bastard theorem?
Yes. Yeah. In fact, because Batman has always been somewhat of a bastard, even when he's fighting against like corrupt cops, you know, you could still argue about the way he does things. There was someone that was all pissed about the new Blue Beetle trailer, because at the end it makes Batman look like a fascist. And it's like, have you ever read a Batman comic? Kingdom Come is like explicitly like Batman's a fascist.
Yeah, he's a billionaire that beats up people that don't have enough money.
Yeah, rather like, than like solve crime, he punches people. Now,
I saw this like probably 10-page essay that I skimmed over. I read the synopsis and a little bit of it, but it was a 10-page essay that assumed the net income of Gotham, and then did like, well, what the infrastructure would be, what the homeless, you know, helping, blah, blah, blah. And basically they said like, if Bruce Wayne put less than 30% of his money, given his wealth in the comic, towards like homelessness services and drug rehab, versus putting away, if you put away two criminals per night, every night, you know, like there was this big, like mathy Excel sheet thing of like, it would take him about 35 seconds. He would just transfer money to like, you know, charities and Gotham would be exponentially better than him to do this weird.
Like if we had the tax rate we used to have in like the 50s, things would be way better.
Yeah.
Yeah. This movie, I think addresses that by the end, how it's going to change going forward. We'll see. But because, at the beginning, he like we said, like the cops sort of tolerate him, but they are sort of backing a vigilante, because when the cop dies, the mayor dies, Batman goes to the crime scene and all these cops are like, whoa, what are you doing here? And Gordon's like, he's with me. And then when like the commissioner shows up, Commissioner Pete Savage shows up, he's like, what the fuck is this guy doing here? The press is outside. I can't be, you know, he can't be seen being in here. The Riddler has started leaving clues for the Batman in some goofy scrawled handwriting and their codes and whatever. But I do like the stupid joke that he cut off the guy's thumb later when you find where the thumb is, that you have to use it to operate a thumb drive.
Yeah. In a car and he goes thumb drive looking thumb for drive. A USB port.
Yeah.
I like, this goes just to the me liking Riddler in this, where he's not a super genius. He's not, he's just a mentally unstable man that's had a rough life.
Yeah.
And he's quite smart, but he's not like, I can build a supercomputer that blow up the sun smart, like DC Comics. Right? He's just like a, fairly smart guy. So like his riddles are good, but they're not like the big cipher one is like, it's not even a real cipher. It's like a light bright that shows like what the next clue is. I really like the kind of grounded that we keep saying, but like the grounded nature of this, like that's just like a regular kind of smart guy.
Well,
that's completely batshit.
Well, he also that he's more interested in showing you how smart he is rather than just being like, here's a clever riddle. It's that they have these like stupid layers that don't matter. And particularly when you find out like what he's trying to do, it's like, this isn't communicated well, but absolutely. It's like Q drops. Yeah, like imagine if Q was like a real person where it's like, no, this has got to be needlessly obfuscated for some reason.
Well, that's the other thing I really love about this is how he's got this online followership of like these kind of incel. He's got a group of like actuallys following him.
Right,
and I'm into it. I'm there for it.
I like it, but as we get to the, when we get to the end, I think it falls apart. But
when Batman finally breaks into his like Discord server.
Yeah.
And on the right side, you can see someone, they're like excited because they found the store you can buy the mask at.
Right.
And they're like, what kind of gun is the best kind of gun? It's just, they might as well just have like a fucking MAGA button down there.
Yeah. But there would be so many fucking arguments with those guys. Like nothing would get done, but I'll save that. But anyway, yeah. So they end up finding, he gives Batman this cipher and Batman goes home after a night of crime. Batman has taken pictures of all this stuff with his eye camera, which is the thing you mentioned.
God, do I want those.
It is cool. Yeah. It's contact lenses that are recording things the whole time. And he's able to just look at something and take a photo of it. And I just like this miserable him leaving, turning back into Bruce Wayne, redressing as Bruce Wayne, riding his little motorcycle back down through some tunnels to get home, like through an abandoned subway tunnel, then to go over all the footage and log it and write it down in these journals, all like fucking John Doe from Seven style.
Yes.
And just that it really, like, this is an alienated, lonely weirdo that is just pouring himself into this. Like already it's telling you that like this quest for justice is crushing this man. It's not just like he is doing the right thing and this is good. It's that he's a sad weirdo.
And one of the things that landed on the kind of the opposite of that, the other side of the coin, is Riddler is like an insane, ostracized weirdo too.
Yeah.
But they don't do the let's hang a sign on it thing of like, you're really just like me.
Yeah, we're not that so speech different, that you and I. Yeah.
Yeah. And they didn't do that. They just kind of left it. It's one of the things of this movie that I like, that they're not hand-holding. It's not like it's a particularly complicated movie.
Right.
But at no point do they go like, here's the point. It's just he actually trusts us to not be complete idiots. He doesn't trust us to be smart.
Right.
And Matt Reeves, But he trusts us to not be fucking morons, which a lot of movies think the audience is the dumbest people that have ever been from Dumbtown.
Well, and I think when that confession scene or the interrogation scene come out later, like basically it does sort of spell out that the Riddler does think that Batman's exactly like him. But the point is more Pattinson. Ha ha ha. That his sort of internal realization, like, oh, shit, do I sound like that? Is that me? But they don't hang a lamp. Like you said, they don't hang a lamp.
Exactly. Yeah.
Speaking of performances that we love, Andy Serkis is quickly becoming a huge favorite of mine. Like between this and in Andor, whatever. I like his non-CG work a lot.
Andy Serkis is terrific.
Yeah. And I like this Alfred, who's like, he's not, I love the Batman, the animated series Alfred. That's like, I'm going to kind of poke fun or like a similar style to the Jeremy Irons Alfred, where it's just like, I'm going to be wry and funny, but I'll play along, where he's like, I'm just trying to help you out so you don't get hurt. That's really what all this is. It's like, you should be doing something else. I'm trying to help you out with this stuff. He's not the cheerleader that Michael Caine was, but he's still there for him.
And he doesn't have a virus that turns him into a computer program like Michael Goss did.
That's true. Was that in the Gotham?
Isn't that what happens in the third or fourth one or something?
I have no idea.
Remember Michael he gets that Goss? Like disease that Arnold, yeah, isn't that the one that plays Alfred in the original Batman movies?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I never saw the Arnold Schwarzenegger one.
Oh, I think in the Arnold Schwarzenegger one, he like uploads his consciousness or something. It doesn't matter. Oof. It was, what were you just saying? I was just saying that
I liked Andy Serkis, that like his Alfred.
Oh, yeah. There's an iteration of Alfred, and it's referenced in other movies, but like that he's a fucking badass. He used to be a secret fucking agent. He's basically like James Bond. That now,
yeah.
Yes. Which I like, because in this movie, Andy Serkis looks like he could beat your fucking ass if he needed to. Like he's got like just a little bulk to him. He's got a little menace, but he's also very nice. Like, oh, that's the kind of, I don't know, that's the Alfred that I find interesting. Him just being like a servant or whatever doesn't make sense in the Batman thing. Like, why would Batman respect him? But him being like, oh yeah, I was just dicking around with that cipher. I probably solved it for you.
Yeah.
You know, like, and like, I'm not saying he could beat up Bruce Wayne, but like, I bet you he could last in a fight for like more seconds than you thought. You know, yeah. Like there's menace to it, which I like quite a bit. And smart enough to realize like, oh, this is a bomb. I'm going to throw it across the room instead of, you know, take it to the face like fucking that old asshole from Batman's 1-4.
Like it's almost like Downton Abbey where there's a staff that operates under Alfred. I mean, it's just the one other woman, but the old woman that like, because Alfred's like, hey, you got to come upstairs. You got to be a Bruce Wayne guy. We're having an accountant show up here because you wouldn't go to them. And when Bruce Wayne finally goes upstairs and is eating breakfast with Alfred, and like this older woman comes up, Mr. Pennyworth, you know, Alfred, the things are just like, oh, okay. So it's like he has his own servant, which I just like.
And we love servants on this show.
We do. But I do think that again, that speaks to the sort of class levels thing that is a theme throughout this entire movie. And I think handles it way better than Christopher Nolan's. What if the good side was actually bad? Think about it.
It's not as good as Batman 66, though, as far as stratified thing, because Batman in that one understood that when he was running with a bomb, he didn't want to throw it at duckies. Uh-huh. He didn't want to throw it at like people that are sitting on the side at boats. You know, some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
That's right.
And that talks about trying to even the status levels between the peoples of Gotham.
Yeah, it was a strong thing because for a while, ducks were more important than Catholics. But because he doesn't throw the bomb at the nuns or the ducks, it's pretty damn satirical.
I don't want to, you know, when we're recording this, about to be Good Friday, it's about to be Easter. I don't want to shit on the Catholics, but I'm putting ducks above Catholics.
I'm not gonna back you up on that. That is, you know, I do believe I'm a free speech purist like Elon Musk, you're canceled.
As Alex hits the mute button.
So they solve the cipher and it reveals the thumb drive, whatever. And I like this stupid thing too, where it's because it's him and Gordon doing this. But as soon as they open up, it's all these pictures of the mayor with a like beat up prostitute leaving the Penguin's Club, the Iceberg Lounge. And then it immediately emails them to like all these names like through Commissioner Gordon's computer. And I just like that he's like, I don't know how this happened and I'm an old man with computers. That just, I don't know why that, but they like,
I like that. No, I really like that. Because we've all done the, oh, I accidentally mailed a dick pic to my boss thing. It's sending a dick pic to your boss.
Yeah.
I really like Facebook for some reason really wants me to read like listicle articles about bad things that happened with email, like I accidentally sent a picture to my blank shows up on my feed at least every 3 days.
It wants you to do it. Free yourself from the tyranny of not sending a dick pic to your boss.
Yeah, it's not even the sending it to my boss that's my problem. Is the I don't think the universe needs photographic evidence of my genitals. I think we're good.
It's like Bigfoot. Like, it's better to just imagine.
No, or just don't even imagine. Like, just pretend. No, I'm
imagining
there.
You can't stop me. I'm imagining it right now. Tromping through the woods.
Imagine Alex's grundle.
Oh, man. You're not helping calling it a grundle. That's not good.
What did you call the taint where you grew up?
I didn't.
Really?
Yeah. No, we met face to face.
So Batman decides that he needs to talk to the Penguin at his club, the Iceberg Lounge. And it turns out that the Penguin, Colin Farrell, we already talked about that a little bit.
Yeah.
He's trying to solve the murder of some lady he doesn't know, which turns out to be Selina Kyle's roommate, Annika.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we get the meet cute between the Catman and the Batwoman.
I also like, though, the stunting that the Penguin does. Yeah, Selina Kyle comes in. like to deliver some money to the Penguin. And then he gets her the drops, the fictitious drug in this universe.
By the way, drops, good word for a fictitious drug.
I like it. Yeah. It's not something like swing or whatever, but yeah, it's just simple. He just does it in front of the Batman. He's like, what are you going to do to me? I'm the Penguin.
Yes.
Like, I'm not that worried about it, you know, but he's kind of like he's not making a big show of it, but he's still doing it. And I like that subtle little bit. I mean, it's not subtle. He's selling drugs in front of the guy, but, we find out that Annika, the disappeared woman that Batman's looking for is, yeah, Selina's roommate / girlfriend. And Batman starts following her around and figures out that she's the Catwoman, which I like how there's just like no bones about it. There's just, he's like, watch her. She immediately just like puts on leather and leaves and goes like breaks into, I think it's Falcone's house. No, it's the crime scene, isn't it?
I think it's the mayor's house, the crime scene of the mayor's murder.
To open a safe to get a passport, and it's Anika's passport. They have a little tussle because Batman followed her. They don't play the Michael Douglas, the Michael Keaton, Michelle Pfeiffer back and forth of like, well, we're enemies, we're friends. They kind of get together pretty quick. And I don't mind that they're still, it's an uneasy alliance, but they don't spend a lot of time being like, I'm bad, but I'm good.
They land that super well. The other thing they land super well is I always find it slightly annoying that Catwoman is Batman's equal in fighting often, where it's like they fight to a stalemate a little bit. And this isn't like a sexist thing, but like, he's a yoke dude that's supposed to have spent like half of his life training martial arts.
Right.
He should fucking wreck Zoe Kravitz. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying he should like punch her in the face, but I mean, just as far as like a fight is concerned, there should be no, she shouldn't land a punch, and she doesn't. And I was like, oh, that's nice. Cause it's always weird. Like Michelle Pfeiffer, like kicking Michael Keaton's ass for a second, where it's like, no, that's not even, he spent 13 years as a fucking ninja. You're a cat lady.
Yeah. So, I mean, but the thing is like with this Batman, we don't necessarily know that he went to China to study. He could have just been doing lines and watching Boss Rutan videos. And that's how he, you know.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. No, that's a good point.
But either way, the point stands that like, this is something he's dedicated his life to. And it's like, she also is just good at fighting. But yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter. I still like their back and forth. Because he's like, I don't really care. I just need to find out what's going here. I'm not interested in busting you for stealing. I'm trying to find out. We're after the same thing. And that's all I care
about. Yeah, I do enjoy that same as like being the copying in the room where it's like, yeah, whatever. Why would I care if you're stealing shit? That's not what I'm here for.
So he sends her undercover with the eyes that she mentions the secret club within the club, 40 Below, that's where all the big players are at. And he puts the contact lens on her and sends her in. She's like, I don't normally work there, but I'll go in there. Sees that all the city people are in there, like all the big names of the city, the district attorney, Coulson. Other like big wigs. I think
Gil Coulson is a beautiful name.
That's where we meet Falcone as John Turturro is as Falcone. And he's like really being kind of creepy and seems like he's coming on to her, calling her beautiful and stuff like that. And they clearly have a relationship. So he's weird out by that. She's very uncomfortable with the position that she's in. And I like that. I like that vulnerability that she has as well. It's not just like I'm, you know, like if you ever played the Gotham City or the Arkham City games, where like Catwoman is just designed like a 13-year-old boy's idea of what a woman is, and it's very funny. But then she's actually anime like a human style being. Catwoman. Well, yeah, just like I am sexy about everything I do.
Yeah, sexy and can also kill. Like yeah.
Yeah, but she encounters Coulson, played by one of the Skarsgårds, I think. He's like, oh man, I've never seen you before. Come have a drink with us. And he's freaking out because the Riddler is killing some powerful people. And because he's also the Riddler has also killed. He released a video killing the previous commissioner, Pete Savage. And I think I don't know if this is the Rata Alata cipher, whatever, but he keeps leaving these stupid riddles.
No, the Rata Alata. We have to go through the collar bomb bit, which I think is a really nice sequence. The action bit of it where Coulson drives the car through the memorial for the mayor. Mm-hmm. But when Pattinson grabs that little kid and like protects his head and like does a roll with him to save him from the car. I don't like, it's such a small stunt, but I'm like, damn, that looked good. This is the smallest thing, but no. Like, there's a lot of those moments. So like, damn, that looked good. Like his hand placement was nice. The roll was nice. It was, yeah.
Well, I also like during that scene, cause in the interim, just the Riddler, and I like this scene too, is that when Selina kind of gets freaked out and leaves. Coulson tries to like follow her out and is like, oh, well, okay, bye. And then he goes to his car and the Riddler is in his back seat. But the whole thing is like such shallow focus. It's like just on the steering wheel. So you just see like shapes moving and you can't really tell what he's doing to him. But then you can.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah. You see that he's got this like, is that a collar? What is that? And he puts it over his neck and then a light comes on. You're like, oh, that can't be good. Very much like that.
Yeah, I think you can see like duct tape at some point.
Yeah. So yeah, the next day they go to Batman and her have a fight about like, you know, who, what was that about? Why do you know Falcone? You didn't tell me that. But the next day they're at the event. The Bruce Wayne goes to the memorial and yeah, Coulson comes roaring through in a car. The Riddler made him do that. Although I'm not sure. What I like is before that happens, right before that happens, like Batman thinks he sees the Riddler or whoever this person is, like just shadowed from the lights from the upper floor of the church. And I just like that shot so much. Because you can't really tell who it is, or is it the Riddler? Because everyone's freaking out, but not this guy when stuff starts happening. And that was just very creepy.
Yeah, no, they like bothered to use filmmaking
yeah.
while making this movie.
And it was driving me nuts because then when Coulson gets out, he's got duct tape on his face, but like his hands are free. And I'm like, why doesn't he just take off the duct tape? But I can see being totally afraid that he, you know, I'm not supposed to, or I'd do it. Because I like they clear everyone out. This phone is ringing. He's got a phone like taped to his hand and the phone is ringing. And cleared out. They send in a bomb robot. And just like how it was scary, but it was also like so pathetic how brought down this guy was that like no one is there for him. But this like robot, everyone is just through video screens watching him suffer. And it doesn't really, you know. They're more concerned for their safety than his.
I'm stuck on this duct tape thing. His one hand has got a phone in it, so he can't take the duct tape. Yeah, his other hand's like just free, right?
Yeah, but he doesn't. It's
take the duct tape off, yeah, bro. I forget it. I hate this movie. Well,
but,
done, John.
But
yeah,
if,
nah,
I
it's
mean,
a good
if,
point.
If the Riddler was like, hey, touch that duct tape, I'll set you, you know, the bomb off. I wouldn't. But anyway, Batman ends up showing up. Same kind of entrance, big clunky entrance. And finally talks to the Riddler. Some of this is kind of funny. I don't know. It's just the way the Riddler acts like on camera. Like that got kind of insane thing. It's you get the sense a little performative. And I like later when you reveal, like when they're on his Discord, he's like, hey guys, thanks for subscribing.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Yeah.
That made me laugh. But he ends up blowing up the mayor, you know, whatever. He starts talking about how like, no, this is a huge conspiracy and you're going to find out you don't know enough yet. I got to show you the way. You're not getting it. And blows him up.
Wait, on that point, they just, so he blows him up. Because he says, yeah, this conspiracy's much higher. It's bigger than you think. I can't talk because my family's going to get murdered, etc. And this is a positive to this movie by its lack of inclusion in something. Mm-hmm. Is I'm so glad this didn't go Court of Owls. Are you caught up with Batman enough to know what that is?
Yeah.
It's just such an easy thing because it's also part of the societal striation. Like, it totally would fit. And I'm so glad they had the restraint to not introduce that in this. Because also, it's already 3 hours long. We don't need it. Right. But I was happy that they didn't pull that trigger because at some point, that's going to be in a Batman movie and it's going to suck.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But basically what Coulson is – tells Batman that like basically because he mentioned to Catwoman before in the 40 Below Lounge that there was the famously one of the things that helped propel the mayor into this position and all this stuff is that they did a big huge bust on Maroni, I believe is there no it's yeah it's Maroni
yes, his Salvatore
drop,
Maroni
yeah his drops operation and like that propelled all these people to the start. That's what gave the DA his job and all this stuff. And he kind of tells Selina Kyle, like, if this gets out, like what really went down, we're screwed. All his clues have been about lying and stuff like that. And he's like, I won't detonate the bomb if you'll answer these questions. Were you paid off? Yeah. I got paid a bunch of money, but who was the informant that sold out, you know, Maroni? He's like, I can't tell you that. I'm not going to tell you that. And then he blows him up. Then Batman ends up like, is investigating the drug dealing operation. He and Catwoman are going to bust and they figure out that the drop operation never ended, that they just transferred it to someone else. They transferred it basically to the Penguin, it seems like. And so Batman, this starts, frankly, an underrated car chase that I don't think gets enough
this
praise.
Car chase is fucking awesome.
It's so claustrophobic for being a car chase.
Yeah.
And that's not something it's really felt before.
It's so, so well done. And it going to the last 40 minutes is kind of pointless. The car chase and that squirrel suit jump.
Yes.
Like the way that he ends that are so good that I'm like, I like this movie. There's very few action sequences. We have two big set pieces and not big, but like cool car chase, cool squirrel suit. That's it. We don't need any of that MSG, you know, Madison Square Garden stuff, like Gotham Square Garden, pardon me.
But we skipped over that. Yeah, but we skipped over that because that's after Batman gets blown up. He wakes up in the prison in the GCPD. And all the cops are around him and they're like, should we take off his mask? Whatever. And he kind of like fights back. And like, you know how much trouble you're in? This other cop is trying to read him his right, you know, trying to give him the business. And then Batman's like, you know, maybe you were in on it. I don't know what's going on here. Cops have lost all faith in Batman. Gordon's like, well, let me talk to him. And then like makes it look like he's reading the riot act. But it's just like, you got to get out of here. You're going to punch me in the face and take this key and run. And I like.
And he's I like where Gordon, he's like, you take this key and take that door over there. And then Batman goes, I don't see a door. Westworld on your ass. Because he's from Westworld.
Yeah, no, I know. I flushed so much of that show out of my brain. I happily don't fully
remember.
Remember
he couldn't see the door because he's a robot?
Was it a door? Did he? I don't know.
Yeah, he's like, I don't see anything. There was a door. He couldn't see it.
That's, yeah. So bad.
It's available on the Roku channel now, everybody.
Yeah, that's great. It's available in garbage cans everywhere.
It's one step down from Tubi.
I love Tubi. Tubi has like the wildest selection of horror movies. It's great. There's actually just
Tubi's fine, but it's just
an Onion article. It really is like the Tubi CEO is just pulling, going to DVD discount bins to figure out movies to show. And it's like, hell yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just the dumping ground of weird shit.
You can find so many Sasquatch movies on there. But so the cops are now against him, but he's still on his side. That's where Batman figures out that this cop that was actually at the Penguin's club has been moonlighting for the Penguin. And whatever, they figure out that the Penguin's involved. Yeah, and you get this great car chase. And I love Batman's car. I'm not a big car guy, but he's just a
badass.
A big old nasty car.
Throaty muscle car.
The camera is always like right next to like the front windshield, the driver's side mirror. It's kind of like it's with the Penguin, it's like right there. And it's always like kind of close up on the drivers. And like when they're in traffic, the traffic is like these big semis and it's just around them. It just usually car chases are like these cars like moving through spaces like that. And this more just felt like the space is closing in around them as they're trying to escape and Batman's trying to catch him. But it's a great action sequence. I love it. Penguin ends up crashing. Batman is, you know, gets him. They tie him up and I love the Penguin still being kind of defiant in this, but still afraid when they're like, you know, this is what he did to this is what the Riddler did. He's like, why are you showing me these pictures? I don't want to see these pictures. I don't know.
Nice performance, very nice beat. However, this is the dumbest thing in the movie. I like Penguin correcting him, going, no, it's La Rata, not El Rata. This is the worst Spanish. Hey, forget about it. This is terrible Spanish. Fine. But when he goes URL, he figures out URL out of this. You are La Rata, URL. Oh, boy. That is.
It's a website.
I am willing to, yeah. My belief can be so fucking suspended. My discipline, you know what I mean? Like boy, you can shovel some horseshit down my throat as long as it's fun, but that was
rough. Oof, that was very rough. That I was like, okay, I'll allow it.
It didn't really even make much sense.
Yeah.
And
it just opens up this chat window with the Riddler who's like, oh, you're not quite getting it yet. Looks like I got to do more. I'm going to go kill Bruce Wayne.
But that window rules, so I can not forgive the URL part, but thankfully the movie gets good again real quick. So I'm like, it's fine.
Yeah,
because that's fine. Where you get the guy that'll be like, hey, it's at the outdoor store. You can buy that. It's so fucking good.
But I like that when they leave to go like, oh, my God, it's going to attack Bruce Wayne. We got to go. They leave the Penguin there that his arms and hands are bound. And so he's like waddling after them like a penguin, like, you know, like a bird.
He also mates for life and explosively shits.
Oh,
much like penguins.
Oh, I didn't know that about penguins.
Yeah, penguins have explosive shit. That's how you can track penguin
populations. Maybe that's how he got the name.
By the explosion pattern.
Because he doesn't have the monocle and the top hat and the tux in this one. Maybe he just poops all the time. But so there's a package. Alfred gets package, realizes, oh, crap, it's probably a bomb. Throws it away, but it still blows up. At this point, so he's out of the picture for the time being. Batman, Gordon go to an orphanage funded by Bruce Wayne's parents. Following the trail of clues, and basically they learn that the Riddler holds a grudge against the Wayne family. There's this whole thing about the renewal fund. You start getting a little hint about what that is. You start finding out that he says the Riddler is basically like, you know what? He was running for mayor. He leased this releases this like video thing to Batman that's like, hey, when he was running for mayor, Thomas Wayne, there was a journalist that was going to talk about how Martha Wayne, nay Arkham, her mother committed suicide and was in an insane asylum. And then some reporter was going to leak it. So Thomas Wayne had Falcone kill him, kill the journalist. And so Bruce Wayne is pissed.
Just examine that for a second. I don't hate this, but I do find it suspect that the big reveal was, oh my God, my wife's mom killed herself. That's not that doesn't ruin political careers. It's literally the wife of the person in the wife of the person's mom. That's so fucking silly.
I think maybe there was some cover up going on, and it was the fact that they were the two like wealthiest families, so they would lose face. But I do like that element of it, because it's already been established that Falcone and Thomas Wayne had a relationship. That Falcone like showed up on the Wayne's doorstep like with a bullet in him one time, and Thomas Wayne actually saved him because of the Hippocratic Oath. But
and another time with a bouquet of roses.
But I, one of my problems with Batman Begins was that Linus Roche's Thomas Wayne was like, so like, man, I'm just the most perfect guy ever. Wouldn't it be a shame if something happened to me, because I'm pretty wonderful. And this one, I like that. I always like the Batman that's like kind of afraid of his dad, of, you know, not living up to his dad, but also this father is kind of an imposing figure and unknowable in this way. And so him finding that out, then he's pissed off about that. And I like he's waiting by Alfred's bed. Alfred finally like gets out of his coma. And his first thing is like, you lied to me. Twerp. He's just like, yeah, I'm glad you're not dead, I guess. What a dork. I love him.
What Batman was it that Jeffrey Dean Morgan was his dad?
Batman versus Superman.
Oh, okay. That's that. In my head, that switched with the Nolan universe. Yeah.
Yeah. There comes a back and forth of who's lying to Bruce Wayne, whether that's Alfred or Falcone, because Falcone's like, hey, you know, I'm not going to tell you. You know, it seemed like Maroni put the hit out on your parents. And then Alfred's like, I think it was Falcone that put the hit out on your parents. Whatever. So back and forth. Then Bruce's like, okay, well, fuck Falcone. Let's go get him. They end up going and figuring out that Falcone was the stool pigeon, that he sold out Maroni, and then like everyone that helped out with the bust like got elevated in the political scene. Then when Bruce Wayne died, which probably was at the hands of Falcone, or sorry, when Thomas Wayne died, probably at the hands of Falcone, he left behind this money for the renewal fund, which was supposed to help Gotham, and instead all the bigwigs just sort of like split it up amongst themselves.
Yeah, and use it as kind of like a money fund. Laundering kind of thing. Yeah,
it never slush went to anyone fund. It was supposed to, and that's what the Riddler's whole thing has been about, because you... When they finally capture Marconi or Falcone, the Riddler's whole thing is like, find the rat and bring him into the light. This I thought was a little bit corny too, because he's outside the club. The Riddler shoots him from a window. Like he's got a sniper rifle, and that's what bringing him under the street light into the light so he can see him to shoot him. And then you'll know who the Riddler is. Whatever, fine. But this is where it starts to lose me, because I thought this whole like crime drama thing was very interesting, very good. But now we get into the Riddler world, and they capture the Riddler, looking over his house. It's all crazy, and he's this forensic accountant, and he figured out this renewal thing, that it's been the slush fund and all that. And while they're investigating it, he's like, he's in holding, he's in jail, but he wants to talk to the Batman. There's a great scene between the two of them. The Riddler is like, Bruce Wayne, oh, it seems very much like he knows who Batman is. Basically, he's like, Bruce Wayne, he's the one that got away, but we almost got him. We're just alike, you and I, without saying it, as we talked about. Realizing that Batman's like, I'm nothing like you. I don't want anything to do with you. It's like, well, too bad.
That Bruce Wayne bit was so good of the, oh, does he know?
Yeah.
And then like it's slow reveal of like, no, he's just obsessing over Bruce Wayne with Batman, in quotes. I thought that was expertly done.
Because the whole thing is he was an orphan, and like he never, you know, he was at an orphanage that like babies were dying because it was too cold. But Bruce Wayne's an orphan. And isn't that sad how he's alone in his tower with all his money? Again, bring that class element into it. Then he's like, ha ha ha, I've got another part of my plan. You didn't figure it out. And turns out he's going to blow up a bunch of vans around Gotham to destroy the seawall, flood the city. Batman figures that out. This is another case. You mentioned this with the Penguin being like, oh, it's not El Rata, it's La Rata. It's Spanish. Is that this one cop is, they find this weapon, the weapon that Riddler killed the mayor with, and it's like a carpet thing. And the guy's like, oh, it's, you know, it's a, oh, what is my dad used to be in upholstery or whatever. Like it's a thing that Batman has no idea. And it's just like this guy. And on one hand, I like that it is, he's not that much of a detective yet, But on the other hand, that's always how Batman operates. He just is like, computer, solve this for me. Well, I figured it out on my own. I'm a genius, you know, or yes. Alfred, do this for me. Well, I figured it out. It's always Batman's support system. But I still like that.
Also on like a simple tool, which even with our modern, even the technology now, not this advanced technology, yes, you can take a picture of it and just Google image search and they would say, oh, it's a carpet tucker. Mm-hmm. Like it's, that should have been done days ago, motherfucker.
Yeah. But they find this map underneath that's got his whole plan where he's doing this. And they find, as we mentioned, this video he left, and it's for recorded the night before. And it's his Discord server where he's running a bunch of other nihilistic weirdos like himself. And they're going to go when he blows up the city, everyone's going to go to the Gotham Coliseum. That's where this mayoral debate is going to be, or the new mayor is supposed to be. And then they'll all attack them from there.
Yes. The Riddler shaman is going to be the first in line.
Well, and that's the thing is that I'm not going to flatter myself by either saying that I was on the front lines or anything to do with these people. But I've been at protests where I've been face to face with some of these weirdos, and this would never happen. This idea that this is some crack team of incels doing this stuff, someone would have shown up with a Buster sword. Someone would have something else. Someone would try to be the leader of it. They wouldn't just follow orders. They wouldn't all dress like the Riddler. They'd be like, no, well, my character has Sonic arms, or I'm wearing the Punisher logo. But so it becomes this whole action scene where everything gets flooded and Batman has to go in there and fight them all off while they're shooting at people. But I do like the kind of idea that the problem isn't, I don't know if you remember all the stupid fucking pearl clutching about the Joker when it came out. Like, we can't review this movie because it's going to be too dangerous. Because incels are going to... That the problem isn't people being like the Joker. The problem is people being like Batman. Is that's ultimately the thing. They want this because that's why the Riddler wants to be like Batman, is that they all want to be like, well, we're going to be this using might to just destroy things, and that will solve the problem.
Being like the Joker doesn't lead you to have 14 AK-47s on your way into the Winco. You know, all the shots of Texas where people are got seven guns on them. Yeah. That's not, you're not going, oh, the Joker would do this. No, that's Batman shit.
Yeah.
That's you're in tacked out armor. That's you misunderstanding the Punisher and having a Blue Lives Punisher logo on the back of your fucking.
Yeah, your Ford F-150 that you take to Starbucks. Yeah. It's never seen a job site in your life. Yeah. Anyway, but so.
By the way, I love how, I know you weren't doing this on purpose, but you never seen a job site in your life. I just in my head, that was you, blue collar job that's been on job sites his whole life.
Yeah. I have done some construction, but the
constructing wonderful videos.
It's constructing intricate fantasy worlds in Minecraft. When one of the Riddler guys, when they unmask him, they're like, who are you? And he's like, I'm Vengeance. And Batman's like, wait a minute, when I say that, that sucks. And because
what the fuck?
You can't have a serious superhero movie without some sort of biblical allegory. He decides he needs to go down and save the people that are being trapped in the flooded Colosseum below him. And so he just drops down, basically gets baptized in the water and comes out as nice Batman now. He saves them. And I like this. I like the bit though where he cracks open the flare and he's leading them. It's just bright red light.
That looked really nice.
Yeah. And it's beautiful. And so yeah, he saved the day, but let's be honest, a lot of people died.
Yes.
A lot of people died. And that always bugs, and I think we've talked about it. It's when you make these spectacles large enough, it tries to obfuscate just how much people would be dead. And that drives me nuts.
I mean, fuck a lot of people dead, yeah.
Yeah. But then it's Batman's okay, well, it's daytime out, and you see him helping people. And he's like, the city's going through some stuff, but it needs me. You know, criminals are going to make use of this. It's going to get worse before it gets better, but hey, I'm here for it. So you have the idea that Batman now is not just the solution is beating people up. It's that I have to do nice things too. And I like that that counterpoint to the Riddler. It's not no, but you were beating people up in the wrong way. You need to do it the right way. That he's learned that's vengeance, isn't it? There's just that vengeance does not equal justice.
He's a good cop.
All this world needs
is a good guy with a gun.
With a good guy with a shock hands or whatever.
Yeah. Wait, no, sorry. I should say, a good born as a guy with a gun, because you don't want any of those other people.
Fucking Biden.
The, yeah. Remember when he said he was like a friend to trans people? And then he's like, well, yeah, but also you can be banned from sports.
No, look, that's we have to meet them in the middle. We have to meet insane people in the middle and ban. And
one side wants you to die immediately and invalidate your entire existence.
Yeah.
And the other side wants you, but we should meet in the middle. That's,
I think,
that's,
you know what, you know what I think we should do is we should just let people look at your child's genitals to make sure they're okay. I think that's probably the safest, most normal. Fuck this. Anyway.
I hate people that make this reference, but like this is the worst timeline. This is the darkest timeline. This is pretty brutal. Fucking horseshit.
Yeah. You could probably figure out when we recorded this. what day we recorded this on. So I do like that element, that more sort of like hopeful thing. And that, yeah, there's the whole thing with he and when Kevin's like, oh, I'm leaving anyway. Star-crossed lovers, all that. Skipped over a lot of stuff, mumbled my way through a lot of it, but I do like it. And I think it was a very, very smart move to cut the Joker part completely. You get a little bit towards the end of the Riddler gnashing his teeth and stomping his feet about how he failed. But then this voice is like, hey, buddy, don't give up hope. I'll be your friend.
Yeah.
And you never see, you just see, hear a voice and see little bits. And there was released later a scene with Robert Pattinson, and I can never say this guy's name right. Barry Keoghan. Oh, he's every time he's been in, he's been in a bunch of stuff. He was in like the Green Knight, Killing of a Sacred Deer. He's in Dunkirk. But most of the time I've seen him, he's like a little shit. And so I think it's great that he's playing the Joker. And the scene with him and Robert Pattinson is great. You can find it online. I highly recommend it. But I'm glad it wasn't in the movie. And I really hope they don't have him really much in this one. If they do like a Thanos kind of thing where they keep teasing him, I would love that. Even particularly if we never saw him. But I just, you don't have to have the Joker. You don't. There are other Batman villains. And it's more interesting to not just repeat the same fucking thing again and again and again. Like, we've heard about the Killing Joke at this point. It's fine.
Yeah, fucking let's bring out Egghead. King Tut.
It's neat. Yeah, yeah. Bring out Egghead. Bring out, yeah.
What was that, Aunt Agatha or whatever? Remember that, like, she was just like an old hick lady in the,
oh, God,
in the old Adam West series?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I can't think of the name. The Rat Catcher, just any of the dumb characters.
yeah, that'd be so good.
But yeah, but like, the whole Riddler bit goes on way too long. Because like, once the crime story is solved, I'm like, I'm good. And then it's like, oh, right. We've got this loose end.
No, the whole end of the movie is hour. We don't need
it's a
bomb. There's some nice looking stuff, but it's tacked on. It's not useful for the film.
I do like this movie a lot overall. I'm like you. It's not one I want to watch again and again and again, but I think it's dark, but it's moody. I think that it doesn't look muddy the way that so many movies tend to now, just the way they sort of color correct us like that. Like, it's very pointed in the way it looks and use of color and stuff like that. Performances are great. I like Robert Pattinson's sad, weirdo Batman.
He's good.
Yeah. Paul Dano is creepy. I like the Penguin. They're going to do more with the Penguin, which I kind of don't want. Like, I like him, but I like him judiciously. HBO series. Yeah. I mean, whatever. People watch it. I'm sure it'll be fine, but. So more of this. If you're going to make this, Batman's the only superhero I think you can get away with doing like this dark, broody shit with. And if this is the way you're going to do it, I'm for it.
I want them to make what was his name? The Question? The guy with like the blank face?
Yes.
That's like a weirdo conspiracy theorist?
Yeah.
That I would like to see, like a dark, gritty, like he's just all full QAnon fucking nut guy. That'd be great.
Yeah, because he was great in Justice League Unlimited, voiced by Jeffrey Combs. It's perfect. Yeah.
Dr. Mordred himself. Yeah. I would recommend this movie wholeheartedly. I really enjoyed it the second time. And then we start like dropping downhill, and that's not the movie's fault. It's just 3 hours is too fucking long, man. So watch it once. It's too long. Even, and the thing is, it's like the stuff that's too long, like the last like 40 minutes, as you said, is good. It just doesn't need to be there. Like, it looks great. It's good action, but it's just like, we're fucking 3 hours, man. No.
You ended it with the he solved it, but Batman's left with the feeling of like, oh shit, am I just like this guy? I like that. I think that's fine. Yes. I think that's cool. But yeah, it feels like there's the whole thing in Boogie Nights where Burt Reynolds wants to make a porn that's so good and compelling that when you're done jerking off, you just sit in it and watch the rest of the movie. And that's kind of, I felt like I'm just sitting in the end of this movie. Like, I'm like, the denouement's happened. It's done, but oh, there's still more movie, huh? Okay. But that aside, it's still worth checking out.
So John, any other things you have to recommend since we're recommending this movie?
Yeah. I've been watching some documentaries of, it's a series on, technically it's on like MGM Plus or something. I just did the free trial to watch it. It's called Women Who Rock, and it's a documentary like going through different decades from the women involved, like Chaka Khan, Tori Amos, like Joan Jett, Pat Benatar, stuff like that. It's very interesting and very well done. And then I also watched there's three of them, but I watched, and there's like 15 hours in total. But In Search of Darkness, which is a documentary, it's currently on Shudder, about like all these 80s horror movies. And they did the same thing where they talk to cast members and fans of movies like that, and just give little snippets about different movies, and then go into some like sidebars about contextualizing horror in the 80s and just horror in general. It was a really great series. And the director of it, David Weiner, was kind enough to come on This May Hurt a Bit and talk to James and I about the series. Very nice guy. But it's a fantastic series. It's like one of those like old like video watchdog books you used to get that would just talk about different movies. And so I'm excited to see it like on Blu-ray or something like that, if I can sort of chapter skip around. But it made me excited about movies I'd already seen, and gave me a list of a whole bunch more horror movies I want to watch now.
So, nice. I would say This May Hurt a Bit is available on all podcatchers that you can find. And presumably This May Hurt a Bit on Twitter, whatever. Yeah, listen to John's other show.
Yeah. And if you are in the urine resale business, check out WizBiz.
Yes. Alex. If you have an ill-fated attempt to make the Philosopher's Stone, a.k.a. gold, and you're using your WizBiz to have it happen, check out WizBiz with Alex and Eric. John, here's my recommendation. I watched Pushing Daisies when it came out, or maybe like the next year. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh man, this is a good show. I like it. And that was about 2004-ish. And I just rewatched it thinking, 2004, how many shows hold up after all that time? And I tell you one that does hold up, Pushing Daisies.
Pushing Daisies?
Jesus Christ, was I transported into a land of morbid whimsy that like I just it's not even, you know, it's weird, it's almost like I don't recommend it because it is so specifically me. Like it is so, like it is like if someone like distilled the stuff that I love and made a show, it's this show. It's like a lonely guy that wears mostly black that hangs out. The only person he can love is someone he can't touch. Mm-hmm. Like there's so much. They might be giants in one episode. Like it is such a, oh God, it is such a fucking good show. I can't recommend it enough. Watch Pushing Daisies. Lee Pace, great. Here's the thing I wanted to talk about. Lee Pace, the lead in Pushing Daisies. The first few episodes I was watching, I was like, oh man, this guy is really miscast. Like this show would be so much better without him. And at some point, I was like, oh no, I get what he's doing. And realized, oh, this show couldn't work without him, which is a weird kind of journey to go on. Where it's like, oh no, he understands the show much better than I do. Because once I was like, yeah, you're right. That's it. Good job, Mr. Lee Pace. So watch Pushing Daisies, report back to me, and we can, you know, talk about how great it is. Sure,
that off. Yeah, created by Brian Fuller, who did Hannibal.
Brian Fuller, yeah. Hannibal, also fantastic. Yeah, and I think sure. Brian Fuller's, isn't he doing a Friday the 13th series?
He is, yeah. It's like a prequel sort of thing. Like the fact that it's him makes me more interested, but I'm still not loving it as a concept. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it, but it's Brian Fuller's great. Yeah. And Pushing Daisy's great. So, John, what would you like to watch for the next episode of John and Alex Hate Stuff, available on Patreon, and find us on various social medias? For the love of fucking God, find us.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, 150 episodes is probably enough, right?
Yeah, I'm done. That's it.
Though you do give me an idea, though. Why don't we watch the movie Nope?
Oh, I like Nope. Yes, let's watch the movie Nope.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so we'll do like casual 149 more after that.
Sure.
Just peel it off the top. Yeah. Like, no big.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Nope is what we will be watching.
Yes. And I'm going to leave that to you to describe because I know nothing about Nope. So please, no, John,
talk. It's Jordan Peele's third movie, came out this past year to some acclaim. And we're going to be checking it out. I don't want to get too much into it because it's just fun to watch it unfold. Yes. So.
And I have had nothing spoiled other than I saw a flying saucer in one promotional still.
That is so related. Yep.
That's the totality of my knowledge of Nope.
Perfect. And we'll get more into it next time.
And presumably somebody named Leslie is in it.
Sure. I don't recall.
Parks and Rec joke.
Oh. Ugh.
Exactly. And there's no better time to end this episode than John being disgusted with what I just said. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Crime.
Goodbye.